Good evening and welcome to the January 16th, 2020 meeting of the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors. It is 7:35 p.m. and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
We'll start with roll call, starting on my far right.
Greg Phillips.
Greg Wax.
Bill Genoway.
Carol Kenny.
Tina Garzillo.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
Joe McGrory, Township Solicitor.
We have no meeting minutes to approve this evening, so the next item is the Chairman's comments, and I have just a couple of comments. Last night, we had a joint meeting between municipal officials from Upper Marion Township, Bridgeport Borough, West Conshohocken Borough, and the Upper Marion Area School District. It was held at the school district senior high school, and it was a very productive meeting to learn more about the construction process of the school and to exchange some ideas between the four agencies. Earlier this evening, we had a meeting of the Upper Marion Foundation. It was basically our reorganization and general business meeting, and that was followed by an executive session to discuss legal and personnel matters. That takes us to new business, and tonight we have a consent agenda consisting of 11 items as follows. Resolution 2020-2, which is the PennDOT Winter Maintenance Agreement. This is a standard five-year agreement to handle the PennDOT roads at an established rate. Item 2, Resolution 2020-3, which is the RCAP grant application for the First Avenue Linear Park Phase 2. And item 3, to authorize an agreement to permit the King of Prussia Business Improvement District to contract with selected bidders for that First Avenue Linear Park Phase 2 project. Basically, what we're doing here is authorizing the bid to do the requesting, and all of this is funded through grants, no township dollars. Item number 4, approval of the pool feasibility study to MKSD Architects in the amount of $56,880. This is essentially an entire property evaluation and plan for the pool area of our facility and the parking area adjacent to the pool. Our pool, as you know, is extremely successful, and this will even enhance it further through this planning process. This bid was the best fit based upon timeline and the various partners used for the analysis. Item number 5 is to accept extension letters regarding Mansell Mill Road Company to September 30th, 2020, and the Malvern School, 900 Mansell Mill Road, to February 20, 2020. Item 6 is to authorize a solicitor to sign settlement stipulations regarding 200 Village Drive in the KOP Town Center, 200 Main Street in the KOP Town Center, 600 West Valley Forge Road, Manor Care property, and 620 West Valley Forge Road, Manor Care property. And these are all tax appeal settlements. Item 7 is a contract amendment and extension for Site Improve. This is our township website software, and this is to expand it to a 2-year maintenance agreement. Item 8, permission to advertise regarding the community center roof project bid. Number 9, permission to advertise the sale of multiple fire and EMS vehicles, a 2000 Ford ambulance, a 1999 Chevrolet Suburban, a 2002 Ford F-750, and a 1996 KME pumper. This is consistent with the Fire and Rescue Service strategic plan that was completed by consultants a couple of years back and is based upon the recommendation of the Fire Chiefs Council. And this also changes the process where we used to send these vehicles out to auction only. And now when these vehicles become at a point in time where they are to be replaced, they now can go to various modes of sale, which would end up generating additional dollars, or in one case, we already have interest from Montgomery County for one of the assets. Item 10 is a citizen board resignation from Courtney Smith from the Environmental Advisory Council. And number 11 is to authorize capital equipment purchases for the Public Works Department, a new Mack dump truck with a snowplow package. Pleasure of the board.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion by Supervisor Wax and a second by Vice Chair Kenny to approve the consent agenda. Are there any questions from members of the board? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing and hearing none, yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Tony Blewett. I live at 200 Deep Hollow Street. This is my third meeting, and I'm shocked. I've lived in this township all my life, and you people, I can't even say anything. I sent an email to Carol. Did you get my email, Carol?
I did not. When did you send it?
I sent the email to you January 10th.
I did not receive an email from you.
Well, that's how it usually goes when you're working with the township people. I've dealt with township people.
I answer my emails, Mr. Blewett.
Well, you didn't.
And I know you. I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No, I did not.
Well, then I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Okay. I said, hi, Carol. I've attended two of the meetings. First, I thought I was treated as a second-class citizen. The room wasn't large enough for all the members that called that night. There was another session in there that the room, we went from a big room to a little room where there's not enough chairs for the women and the people in need. That was another thing. Third, I said, you guys sat in front of everybody and ate pizza and had drinks. Whenever we went to a party, everybody got to eat. I thought it was kind of rude, personally. Not that I wanted to eat. I ate before I came. And then I just wrote that I expect an apology. But nobody came, so I guess it doesn't matter to the people. But I'm going to start coming to all the meetings. I have some more stuff here. I've been asking about, and I haven't gotten many answers.
Mr. Blewett, I don't want to stop you from going over. I want you to go over everything there. But does anything pertain to the consent agenda? I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I continue?
Go right ahead.
All right. I wanted to know what happened to the last township manager. I've asked and asked and asked. And as far as I know, he was let go. Mr. Wax gave me an email, said he was pushed aside with the reorganization.
I'm pretty sure that's not what I would have said.
Well, I still have that.
That's fine, but I'm pretty sure I did not say that the last township manager was pushed aside with reorganization.
He got pushed aside for reorganization.
No, I'm pretty sure that is not what I said. I don't recall the email, but that doesn't sound like
me. Of course you don't. I don't expect you to. But I have it. I don't lie.
Well, can you show me the email?
I'll bring it to you.
I would appreciate that. Pushed aside during reorganization doesn't sound like me. It doesn't sound like the way I would phrase something.
And I also asked what happened to the fire guy, Walters.
Well, Mr. Blewett, I hate to, again, come back to this, but we are on the consent agenda. Your items are relevant questions to ask under additional business. Do you have anything on those 11 items that I just mentioned?
Yes.
Can you get to those so we can close that portion of the meeting and move on to additional business?
All right, about buying the new dump truck.
Yes, sir.
I saw somewhere on the computer that it was 200-some thousand. Is that correct?
I'll refer to Mr. Hammett.
Yeah, under the price that we have, Mr. Blewett, under state contract, $200,000. Now, there's two pieces of that puzzle. There's the chassis, as you know, and then there's the dump body. Now, the dump body will be a stainless steel dump body, and there's also the third piece, which will be the snowplow package and salt spreader. So all that total is $210,000. Now, that's a quote. We, under the CoStars, Pennsylvania CoStars, we can negotiate that, but that's going to be our maximum cost here, about $210,000. Keep in mind now, it's a 30,000 GVW vehicle, so it's big.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you also had in there a mini excavator for 70-some thousand.
Go ahead.
It's in the budget. That is not being requested for purchase yet from the board. So, but it is a budgeted item.
It's a budgeted item, but when's it going to be like?
That'll be up to the Director of Public Works and when he believes he needs to request permission from the board to purchase that vehicle.
Okay, how about leasing or subcontracting a snowplow out? You do it with other contractors in the township. Would it be more feasible to spend $200,000+ for a dump truck that you don't need when you can go rent one for the day?
Keep this in mind. We do contract with a company for additional snowplow assistance as needed. But also keep in mind that this dump truck can be used for everything that we do, from the Public Works Department to the Sewer Department to the Park and Rec Department. So it'll be, used across, various departments. So it's just not going to be for snow plowing.
Well, besides that, yeah. With the truck, you guys have a garage mechanic, right?
We do.
And they fix our equipment, right?
Yes.
So I still think it would be cheaper to rent a truck for the snow than to buy one. You would save $210,000 right off the bat. I mean,
and
not your money,
Mr.
not
Blewett,
my money.
Mr. Blewett, we're actually going to be saving money by purchasing the truck because we have a lot of things that leases aren't cheap. In fact, I have a very good friend who's in the business of leasing dump trucks and that kind of stuff, and they're pretty expensive. And contracting out becomes pretty expensive, and you also lose the ability to have some flexibility on your timeline, your time schedule. So we're looking to actually save the township taxpayers money by bringing these things in-house, if you will, if we have the equipment, especially a utilitarian piece of equipment like the dump truck with the snowplow package. We can use that all through the year and get good return on our investment.
But also with that, you have maintenance. When you subcontract, you don't have maintenance.
Well, many times you have maintenance packages that come with the purchase of the vehicle.
Well, I'm not talking about purchasing. Renting a contractor. We have 30 contractors in Upper Marion, which I'm sure would love to come and plow for us.
You lose your flexibility on that as well.
Yeah. Oh, because our old dump trucks aren't fixable, or we just need a new one for $210,000.
Again, it's like anything else. You can baby a truck and you can keep it really well for 30 years, but at some point it comes to the end of its useful life.
I still have a car. It's a 97. Still running.
And I'm sure that's all true because you take care of it. And we do the same thing with our equipment. However, there are times, especially when they're heavily used, that they come to the end of their useful life and they need to be replaced.
What's the average mileage when you get rid of a vehicle?
I'll ask Mr. Hamaday, but they typically are in six figures.
Yeah, and again, it's just not about mileage. It's about years. We have some vehicles that have 20 years of service to us, so they don't owe the township or the residents anything.
Right.
It really comes down to that balance between annual cost of maintenance or a debt service or a payment for a new vehicle. So believe me, our mechanics are top rate, and we keep equipment as long as we can.
How many mechanics do you have at the garage now?
It depends on what they're working on. We have four dedicated mechanics. Some work on our police vehicles, some work on heavy equipment, some work on public works trucks. So their duties are split. So there's four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh, about the swimming pool. Is that $6,000 going to be fixed the leak in the pool?
That'll be evaluated as part of the process. They're taking a look at the facility, the infrastructure, the area around it, and the parking at the top end. And as you probably are aware, we purchased one of those houses there. It will help us determine what's the best thing to do with that piece of property as well.
And that's for the repairs of the leakage of the pool?
That's not to specifically repair it, but it's to analyze what needs to be done to actually repair that one leak. I'm aware there is one leak up there.
One leak, okay. About the community center, I heard that went over budget twice. Is that correct?
No, it was under budget.
It was under
budget? I don't have the specific numbers here, but I can, if you'd like, Mr. Hamaday can research that and let you know what the numbers were.
Yeah, because I heard, you know.
It was under budget.
Over. And I was wondering, when we purchased that, did we know it needed a new roof?
Not at the time, no. We learned that after the fact.
Which one of our inspectors inspected it? Or we didn't inspect it?
Actually, it was inspected by third parties as part of the construction process, as I recall.
Yeah. Third party?
Third party inspection.
And they work for us?
You? They were contracted by us, yes.
And they didn't tell you needed a new
roof? They identified that there were issues that needed to be dealt with the roof. And over time, we have done a variety of repairs on the roof, and we've also done some upgrading of the roof. And to the last, as I recall, there were no leaks, but it is necessary to redo the roof.
On occasion, there have been leaks, but,
yes, but there, aren't
there aren't any right now, from what I understand, but there certainly have been leaks of the community center roof on occasion, but that really hasn't stopped the community center from being used for what it's designed for being used for, which is recreational activities.
Right. Can I ask another question to Mr. McGrory? I don't know if you know this offhand, but how many taxpayer dollars have we paid out in open lawsuits?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I know of one, it's like $13
million. Do you have a period of time in which you're referring to?
Over by Wagmans, where we're getting our new firehouse.
You mean the village, the whole property at the village?
Yes. It was a while.
I don't know what the number is over the length of that. I mean, we're talking about a 30 to 40 year period from the start of litigation on that to the end.
They had to settle it before they got the bill. And they've been building for a couple of years, so it had to be in the last 10 years.
We do have a settlement agreement on that property.
And we can make that available.
We can make that available, but I believe we've identified that we've actually now received more tax dollars in than was spent on that particular litigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we received more tax dollars in, why did you propose that we have a tax rate?
As I mentioned at the last meeting, the tax increase was due for a couple of reasons. And it was due to the long-term planning for additional open space purchases so that we don't have to go to referendum or anything of that nature. And it was also due to rectify some issues where probably 15, 18 years ago, one of the capital planning budgets was cut. And as a result, we lost money over the last 20 plus years of putting money in there. We had to get that back under control so that we had the right amount of monies coming into that fund. And actually it was for two different funds. So that's what it was for. It was more capital purchasing and capital planning than it was for operations.
Because I was wondering, the tax dollars I see up in the old shopping center that we have a credit union, is that owned by township?
No, sir. That's a private enterprise.
Private enterprise?
Private enterprise. They're based in Philadelphia, I believe.
Okay. Let me see. What else I got on my mind?
Was there anything else on the consent agenda so we can close that out? You're welcome to chat some more about anything else you have on your list.
I just don't understand what the other soliciting for settlement is with the A, B, and C on the number six.
The settlement agreements?
Yeah.
Mr. McGrory, can you explain the tax settlement agreements?
Yes, the school district or the landowner file to make a change to the assessed value of the property, so the taxes either increase or decrease accordingly. And then when all the parties feel that settlement's in order, rather than fully litigating the issue, they all agree and execute a settlement agreement.
So they're actually suing to get the taxes reduced.
Or the school district is suing to increase them. Either one. It can go either way.
But it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's about all I have to say for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blewett. Thank you for coming to the Planning Commission meeting the other night, making those comments.
And Mr. Blewett, I checked my emails again just now, and I also looked in my spam folder, and I do not have an email from you. So if you would like to maybe either leave me a copy, if you have a copy of it, perhaps it was sent to the wrong address. I don't know. But thank you for writing to me, and I would hope you, I would tell you that I absolutely always answer my emails. Okay.
Any other comments under the consent agenda? Okay, seeing and hearing none, may I have all in favor of accepting the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Yes.
Mr. Blewett, I just checked the email address. My last name has another E in it. That's why I didn't get it. It's K-E-N-N-E-Y. So that's why I didn't get it. Okay, just so you know. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, number 7, is accounts payable and payrolls.
Move to pay the bills.
Second?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Phillips and second by Mr. Wax to pay the bills. Any questions from the board? Questions from the public? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Additional business. Anything? Mrs. Kenny?
Just one thing. As liaison to the EAC, the Environmental Advisory Council, I note that Courtney Smith has resigned from the EAC for personal reasons, and Brittany Gralla also resigned, well, just asked not to be reappointed. I just wanted to thank them both for their valuable assistance and contributions to the EAC. And with that, I wish them well, and I hope they'll stay in touch with us and stay in touch as friends of the EAC as well. That's a segue into, I'd like to read what the vacancies are for citizen boards. You can look online and download an application for these. There is one vacancy for the ECDC, the Economic Community and Development Committee. Two vacancies for the Environmental Advisory Council. One vacancy in the Historical Commission. Two alternates for the Human Relations Commission. One vacancy for Park and Rec. Two vacancies, which are alternates, for the Property Maintenance Board. Two vacancies and two alternates for the UCC Board of Appeals, and one vacancy for the Upper Merion Foundation Subcommittee. So that's all I have this evening, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you. Mr. Wax?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I want to mention that it is still 2.5 months away, but the Board of Community Assistance deadline is April 1. The Board of Community Assistance each and every year hands out grants to organizations which provide services to Upper Merion residents and college scholarships to Upper Merion residents who are going on to college or trade school or community college. You can get an application on the township website. Just go to the government page under boards, commissions, and authorities and look for the BCA. And I really encourage you, if your organization is one that helps out Upper Merion residents or you're a graduating high school senior, to please consider applying. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips? Okay, I have one additional item. You may have actually heard this on KYW News, but I wanted to make sure that residents were aware that for an extended period of time, there is going to be some work in Route 202 South in Norristown, which may adversely affect traffic in and through Upper Merion. But Markley Street, US 202 South, will have, at the present time, periodic flagger-controlled lane closures, and you may actually experience challenges if you're trying to get to Upper Merion or trying to leave and go elsewhere. Lane closures beginning on Monday, the 27th of January, through the fall of 2022 will be occurring on the northbound motorists, and they'll be detoured between Main Street and Elm Street in Norristown. So obviously it's not in Upper Merion, but it is pertinent to people who drive through Upper Merion or leave Upper Merion to drive northbound on 202. And if you have questions on that, you can check www.511pa.com or go on the PennDOT website for additional information. And that's all that I have this evening. Any other comments from the public?
Hello, Mike Napolitan, 360 Garrison Way. I'd had some general questions on the Ross Road property that's has a proposal in for development. It's currently listed on the zoning map as R3A, residential district. And in reviewing those code in Upper Merion in section 165-65 part A, it says that if the development under R3A is not developed within, or the plan that was approved when that zoning was given isn't started within 18 months, then it reverts to its previous zoning. So I believe this property was zoned R3A under RPI's plan, I guess about 10 years ago, maybe prior to some of the people on this board. And I just wanted to clarify if we're gonna follow the code and if that reverts back to light industrial or heavy industrial, I believe it was prior, and if this board is going to have to rezone that property to make it legal and follow their own code.
This matter was recently brought to my attention, so I'm still checking into it. The issue is, was there a prior plan approved, and what were the terms of that approval? Was it a final approval? After I see that, then I can render an opinion about what should be done next.
Well, I mean, it's clear in the code. I mean, I'm obviously not a lawyer, but
the code says from plan approval.
But you have to initiate development within 18 months.
From plan approval.
Right, and it was approved when?
Well, that's
the initial one. Yeah.
I'm checking out whether it was approved and whether a contingent approval would qualify as an approval.
So if the plan wasn't approved, then what happens with R3A then?
Then it's still out there because it's triggered by the plan approval. Let me check into it so I can give you an accurate answer after I get all the facts.
Right, thank you. The next question I had, I'm glad to hear at least there's a silver lining with the tax increase. You spoke of open space purchases. The only open space plan that I'm aware of in Upper Merion is the one that's filed at the county office. And the Glasgow property, which is the R3A property, is listed as a Tier B property and was targeted for open space conservation in that plan. Now, we've had a referendum that passed in Upper Merion, a $5 million referendum that we're currently paying back, and I believe the funds have been pretty much expended, and we're just paying it back with our millage that we currently have for the open space. So there's a couple questions I have regarding that to clarify what we can do. Are you going to follow the plan that's filed with the county, or are we going to update the plan with new targeted properties? I mean, I've heard rumors of other properties, some that make sense to me and sound great if we could do that as a township. But I think, you know, the Glasgow property, the way they have it proposed, to make it profitable to them, they have to make it so dense and ridiculous that it really impacts the township. It impacts the roads, it impacts our schools, obviously services that are going to be required for that. I just don't think it's a good property there. If there's something we can do with the zoning, and also if we can use open space funds through the new tax dollars, if there's some set aside there, I don't know what was set aside. The other option is if the board can get behind another referendum. I'm personally behind having another open space referendum so that we can actually purchase properties, because in reality, there's no way to stop some of the development once the zoning has been changed unless we purchase the properties. And I think, you know, Ross Road property with Ross Park would be a fabulous nature center if it's just left alone. And if we had a nature trail that walked through there, I think you can have parking access off the current Ross Road park area. The community could go there. Anybody in the township can enjoy it, including the apartment dwellers over at the village. And it seems like there's a lot more coming. So I think if we could get people that could get behind that, and if the board could get behind that, that would be something I think would be beneficial to the community beyond building another massive property. And if you still want the road extension, Prince Frederick, we could do that. I mean, there's still room to do that with a nature center. We just need to start thinking a little outside the box and stop trying to jam so much in the township. So that's what I have to say. And if we can talk to that a little bit and just see, you know, what your plans are for open space, and if we could do something maybe to preserve the Ross Road. That ship may have sailed already, I don't know. If there's literally a plan somewhere, I would like to see what the plans are and what the focus of the township is for the open space.
Thank you. In the past few months, we have been made aware of a few properties that may ultimately be able to be obtained as open space, not including the Ross Road project. But what we are looking at now are the realities of whether or not they can be obtained and how they do fit into that overall purchase plan, and what might be required to modify that plan or update it or whatever to be able to make them included. They would all bring the same kind of value as you're talking about, which would be to retain open space and retain some nature points within the township. So we are looking at that. At this point, we don't have enough data to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or we can afford this, we need this much in a referendum, but we are looking at that a little more comprehensively. So that's that aspect. With regard to the Glasgow Ross Road, whatever we want to call it, with regard to that development site, this dates back to 2006 and before. None of us were here. So we're working in, I won't call it a vacuum, but we're working with documents that we have to literally research to find out what transpired back then, what the actual results were, and what transpired with the documents after the JPI group vacated the interest in working on that property. Does that mean anything or not? We also, since that time, have done some things with our zoning, R2, R3 zoning. We're not quite sure whether that applies to this or not. So the point out of all this, Mr. Politan, is we have about 2.5 pages of questions that were generated as a result of the Planning Commission meeting and as a result of our workshop meeting that we now have to go back and get answers to. And they range from some environmental issues to some zoning issues to some preliminary planning issues and so on. So it's all being worked through and identified, and at the next Planning Commission and or workshop when we discuss this, we will make sure that it's in this room, first of all. Mr. Blewett, our apologies. We we were not aware of the number of people that would be coming that night. Had we known that, we would have been in here for the entire duration of both meetings. Yes, like the planning meeting was. So in the future, any more meetings regarding those properties, they'll be in this room. Yes, I hope that answers your question, Mike.
Does the that zoning R2A, I believe it is, you have changed that? Are you working on it? Or
we did some work with various types of the R2, R3 zoning, and we're not quite sure where it applied. We're off the top of our heads. So I mean, we had to get the documents back out to see if this was applicable, or was this already in a plan approved, as Mr. McGrory said, that it wouldn't apply to.
It almost seems like it's a zoning that, I mean, I think we have one other property zoned R2A in the township, and that one was actually built out. I believe on the map, I saw another one, another parcel. It seems like it's like a way to R3. Give, I mean, I'm sorry, R3A. It seems like it's a way to give the board an opportunity to, if there's some sort of development that's of interest, to have a temporary development placed on that, or temporary zoning almost placed on that property specifically for a development plan. And if it doesn't work out, then the intent was to remove that zoning and have it revert back. To me, and the reason why I think it would be beneficial if it reverted back and the board reviewed it and then determined a different zoning, maybe a less dense zoning. Obviously, the developer wants to have as much on there because of the grading issues. I'm assuming that's probably a big thing. I'm not sure about environmental yet. But it just seems like it's a temporary type of thing that allowed the board a tool to allow this development to maybe go in some place that really didn't fit. So that's just my interpretation of it. And the other thing, quickly on the Ross Road, at that planning meeting, they did say that the engineer approved or gave a all clear, I'm not exactly sure the terminology he used, that it met the zoning criteria and code criteria. And just looking at the plan, I find that difficult that it's meeting the open space criteria of the R3A, because they would be required to have 15 acres since it's about a 78 acre property. And I just don't see that anywhere, 15 usable acres in one lump sum on that property. Because, you know, preserving the wetlands is not usable open space for the residents. I don't think that's the intent of it. And I believe somebody on the commission said that sedimentation basins don't count as open space. And I'm not sure exactly what they're looking at there, but is there a way for the township to put supporting documents on the website for the community to look at? There's a big interest. And I think supporting documents, including the engineer's approval, and if you do get the environmental reports from them, environmental reports would be beneficial. I think being as open as possible, because I think if people understand that it's not, you can't really stop it as it's zoned. I mean, if they meet the zoning, then they meet the zoning. But if, you know, the engineer was loose with the interpretations of zoning, then, you know, it'd be nice to see those letters to see what his interpretation was for that.
We have requested all of those. We have not seen those because that was the first plan presentation, but we have requested everything that you've asked for. And once we get them and take a look at them, then we'll post them as available, whatever we can get.
And lastly, just off the topic of that, on the same topic actually, but focusing on the traffic studies in that area, I think it would be beneficial to revisit those, considering we've had a lot of development, and just this is literally going to dump, somebody assumed about 800 cars from that development. I don't know, there's 400 and some houses, so, you know, say a rush hour, you know, if you get that many, 800 cars come out onto
202. I think.
How much?
272.
Yeah, I think they were projecting 400 cars.
They were projecting, well, okay, 460 units.
But still, 400 cars coming out on 202 is going to be a real pain. And I think we really need to look at the traffic studies, because that's been kind of a, as you know, an issue in the township, and not focusing on that and making sure that we're doing everything we can as a community to prevent those impacts would be beneficial. So a traffic study, I think, is extremely warranted. Thank you.
Thank you. We've asked for those traffic studies and the recommendations, particularly with regard to some of the comments that were made about what was okay and what wasn't okay. So we have requested all of those documents to take a look at. Thank you. Any other additional business? Seeing and hearing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We stand adjourned at 8:17 p.m. Thank you. Yeah.